For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Dan Campbell, the soundbite machine today. Some of the best quotes from him at the podium. We don't live off reputation. We live off work. We're not going to lose our identity. It's the most important thing to me. I will not sacrifice it for anything or anyone. Fired up. Our question, your expectations for this team, are you ready for a step up or do you expect a step back? And we've gotten both responses on the ticket text. We've got open lines 248-539-9797. My expectation is that this team takes a step forward. This team does maintain its identity from a year ago. I know they have to put in all the same work and more work even to get it done this year, but they're built for this. The offensive line is as good as it was. And here's the other key. Their defense, I'm not telling you they're going to be top five. They should be better. And it's DJ Reader in the middle. It's freeing up Aleem McNeil. It's being better on the defensive line as well as the offensive line. And it's being a team that wins at the point of attack. It's Dan Campbell football taken to the next level.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned defense as well, because there are three players that could start the season on PUP and, you know, physically unable to perform list. And Dan Campbell does give an update on them as well. And he talks about at the podium, he gives the update for the injured players. This is coming from Danny Rogers. Says they're all on schedule, including DJ Reader, who's working on getting his strength back with his injury healed. That's good news.
Yeah.
D-end Marcus Davenport will probably be ready before Brian Branch.
Okay.
At least they're all on schedule. So nothing is out of the realm of, hey, there's been a setback leading up to training camp for any of those three players. I don't know what their timeline is for those players to return, but it sounds like maybe Brian Branch will be the last of them to return. But to be able to have DJ Reader and Marcus Davenport up front, I think will be a huge key for the Lions.
Bunch of ticket texts coming in. This one says, Lions equal all in psyched. Let's go. All caps. We're fired up, baby. River from Lake Orion.
Shouting at us.
All caps again. I'm drinking the effing Kool-Aid, baby. Let's go Super Bowl. One more says, the struggles are only historical for organizations that aren't dynasties. We are a dynasty. All right, let's slow down on that.
Slow down on the dynasty, but we could be. This could be the start of
the start. Expectation on the ticket text, 12-5, if not 13-4. Need to be a higher seed. Get those home games. Says, even with the tough schedule, it looks like only one outdoor cold weather game, which is against Chicago. Everything else indoor or warm weather, that works to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Still not as optimistic as I am.
Yeah, you have 14 wins over here. The first place schedule only affects a couple games. It's the biggest overblown thing in sports.
They have a tougher schedule this year. Regardless, I think it's obvious. They have a tougher schedule this year than they did last year.
They're playing the NFC South. So in addition to playing a couple more first place teams, you're also going to play some tougher divisions. You're going to play the NFC West.
Yeah.
So some of it is more than just the first place schedule. It's a tougher schedule all around. Some text on the team says, discussions on the Lions D-line always assume Hutch is going to be good. Says it's a gloss over. He gets the hometown treatment. He has above average stats, but he needs to be better in the big games. Something to watch for.
I agree. Bigger moments. And he has been good. I expect him to take another step forward instead of, and this is where I think that extra help up front with the guy that you mentioned could have a breakout season in Aleem McNeil. Contract year, I think he does as well. DJ Reader. When you have two guys that are pushing the pocket from inside, it prevents those quarterbacks, especially the mobile ones, from stepping up in the pocket to avoid that deep pass rush. If you can get anything opposite Aiden Hutchinson from let's just say number four, and number one, two, and three are Hutch, McNeil, Reader, who's going to be that number four that pushes or collapses the pocket from the outside? Is it Davenport? Is it Kaminsky? Is it Pascal? Is it Houston? There's a lot of options. And it doesn't have to be one guy. You can throw a lot of different changeup pitches over there, but it needs to be somebody that helps Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson himself got to have bigger moments. You can be aided by what else is going on up front.
Texter says, I'm Super Bowl or bust. Another one says, I am, this team can go to that game in February. Just say Super Bowl. Like,
well, yeah, I'll say the words.
I'll read the rest of his text, but guys, like,
put that in caps.
Say it. Super Bowl. This team. Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions and the Super Bowl. Put them in the same sentence. Don't be afraid of your own shadow. Don't be afraid of those three letters in the old acronym. The team has stepped forward. They've stepped into the light. They are among the NFL heavy hitters. The heavyweights. Act like it. Embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. I'm not talking to you, John. You and I are on the same page here.
Yeah.
I know we get these ticket texts. My concern, the Lions are a flash in the pan. They're going to go something like 6-11 or 7-10. I mean, unless you're forecasting some catastrophic injuries, I just don't see it. I don't.
In regards to performance, when healthy, I think this is going to be a dynamic offense. I think they're even better than they were last year. And defensively, it's sure they could take a step back, but it'll again be due to injury. I think they continue to improve defensively. Jack Campbell, second year. Brian Branch, second year. You look at some of the other guys. Derek Barnes played much better last year. At the end of the year. And then you have the additions of Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Amik Robertson, Ennis Raikshaw. They've completely revamped the secondary. And then we saw at the end of the year, who else played well back there? Ify Melifonwu.
Yes, which he got some love on the ticket text too. We didn't really mention him in our
Kirby Joseph. Joseph is a player that I was very disappointed last year. Coming off his rookie season, I know he just picked on Aaron Rodgers. I expected him to be a bigger force in the secondary. He's addressed it. He's talked about it. He wants to be that guy in the secondary that is, he's got his hit list. And it's not in terms of I'm going to put hits on player. It's I want to be able to intercept quarterbacks. I want to be able to be a force in that secondary. Kirby Joseph has to be better this year.
Freddie texts in and says, my concern is the sophomore jinx for three or four players that were important to this team. The Jameer fumble. Does he think about it all year after that fumble? It affected Tiki Barber. Again, Freddie.
Well, I hope he thinks about it. I hope it's a motivating factor to possess the damn ball.
That play, as much as the Josh Reynolds drop, it's a series of plays, but man. Anyway, you got a new season. You can move forward. Texter says, I'm ready for the Lions to go back to the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. They did really good last year, made some positive moves in the offseason. If we get beat, then obviously we have to make more adjustments, but I think the Lions are the gritty team that can do it. They still have a lot of work to do, but I believe John in Macomb. Oh, and to finish the earlier ticket texter saying that they can go to that game in February, it says, the fact that they had the two playoff victories last year, a good end to the 22 season, everything's going in the right direction. The Lions have had many disappointing seasons they need to kill by making that game in February. Don't let SOL rise from the dead. Yes, I do believe it's already dead. Nick in Farmington Hills.
Yeah, I don't even want to say those letters. They're dead to me.
Move on.
Yeah.
Step forward.
And
they've grown up. It's time for the fan base to grow up too.
I keep going back
to... And not all the fans. You know the fans I'm talking about.
Oh, sure. But I keep going back to... Dan Campbell addressed this. I do want to play that audio one more time because he addressed exactly what he is talking about now right after the season was over. And you can hear the exhaustion. You can hear the disappointment. But you can hear the reality of what the task at hand when you listen to Dan Campbell post-season last year. You heard it there. It's going to be hard. And it's the work. It's the motivation. What did we hear from Penei Sewell? The amount of times that he has watched that game. There were four teams playing. They were up 17 points, and they still came up short. Yeah, rip that Band-Aid off. Let's go out there and find a way to motivate ourselves, find a way to work, use all of that as motivation to be better this year, to put the work in and know that you are going to have a huge target on your back, that you are now the hunted because you were one of four teams that were still playing. You weren't one of two. You didn't get there, but you were one of four, and that is what everybody else, 28 other teams, are aspiring to get there.
Ticket texters pointing out that they have already bet on this team to win the Super Bowl.
Oh.
They have already booked reservations, Airbnbs in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. That's Gonzo in Brighton. We have more people saying they purchased that furniture. They expect it to be free at the end of the season. So people are making life decisions around the Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl. And I don't believe these people were drunk at 9:13 on a whatever day of the week it is, Wednesday morning.
Wednesday, yeah.
I don't think so. Hump day, yeah. Sorry, the days get kind of, whatever. We get up early, days get blurred. I think these people have every right to believe it. And we've asked you guys for your thoughts, 248-539-9797, whether you think this team takes the step up, step back. How are you emotionally preparing for uncharted territory, the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl conversation? We will get to Tarek Skubal, the report, the quotes, the odds, and a trade, potential trade. Would you say yes to this deal proposed? We'll get to that at 9:35. It's 97.1.
Hey, the summer driving season is upon us once again, and the combination of increased traffic, big trucks, motorcyclists, and something that we all have to deal with right now, construction. It all contributes to the fact that summertime in Michigan has more accidents than any other season of the year. If you've been injured in an accident, injury attorney David Femininio and his team are ready to help you right now. And here's a great point. David will never take a fee until he wins your case. You can speak to David personally right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Love the message from Dan Campbell today at the podium. The lectern, as I'm being told I should call it on ticket text.
Oh, words matter.
Words matter. It's a lectern. Podium. It's a podium. He called it a podium, and it's a large podium, so he doesn't knock it over. Anyway,
we're talking. And it looks like a large podium, even in front of Dan Campbell.
Even in front of him.
Yeah.
It's like a phone booth. I don't know how to describe it.
Can't wait to see comical. Ben Johnson behind it, or Dave Phipp. Not big individuals. They're going to look tiny.
How many Amon-Ra St. Browns do you think could fit there, Heather?
Oh, at least three.
stacked on top of each other.
I was going to say, are they like sitting on the shoulders or are they standing side by side?
Yeah, they're going to play chicken.
Because a couple side by side. It's a wide podium.
It is wide.
It is a little
It's got
silly.
Room.
It gives you the message.
It's a roomy podium that Dan Campbell's standing behind. We've got a Tarek Skubal trade proposal to get to at 9:35. I want to introduce a vocabulary word to describe this Tigers season before the show ends. We have ticket texts. We got phone calls. Lions are the topic of conversation. Your expectations for this football team. We also told you history is not on their side. Do you say, who cares? All in? Do you expect that step forward or that step back? Let's go to Michael in West Bloomfield. Michael, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Nothing gets me more excited than talking Lions. So let's go back to last year. They far exceeded all of our expectations. Yes, they won the division, and we thought they'd get a playoff win. Well, they went far beyond that. So now let's go to this year. They've made additions to the team, both on the offense and the defensive side. And Jameson Williams is going to be your guy on the offensive side of the ball that's going to have a breakout year. You're going to see some sparks in that offense that we haven't seen here in a long time, and I'm sure Ben Johnson is just, like, chomping at the bit. I can't wait to see him unleash Jameson Williams, because you can't tackle what you can't catch. Now, on the defensive side, with the additions of Reeder and Davenport and all the other, and Brian Branch coming back, and Kirby Joseph's going to have a better year. Watch out for Jack Campbell. And Jack Campbell is going to be the wild card. He is going to be roaming free, because all these guys are going to have all their assignments buttoned down. And everybody that Campbell and Holmes have brought in are the guys that they want. These are fabric guys. They have woven the fabric tighter. And I fully expect the Lions to be in the Super Bowl in February, sitting on my couch with lots of food and lots of drink and a few buddies over. And we're going to have some fun this year. And it's going to be – and they're going to earn it this year because, schedule's tougher. But, hey, that's the price of success. And let's go Lions.
Michael, I love it. The schedule's tougher, but the Lions are tougher too. You talk about how can they be better? It's why we talk about breakout guys. He says Jack Campbell. He says J-Mo. I think those are two great ones. I threw Aleem McNeil in there. I think there's another gear for him with Reader alongside him in that defensive line room. There's another gear for this football team, which is scary for everybody else and exciting for us. Let's get to Antoine in Detroit. Antoine, you're on 97.1.
What up? What up? Hey, fellas, he kind of stole my thunder, but Jack Campbell is going to be like that, fellas. I'm telling y'all right now, we've seen it at Iowa. We've seen it in the Big Ten. And getting DJ Reader and Aleem McNeil's steady progression and those guys eating up those blocks, I'm telling you, it's going to make a world of difference. People don't realize DJ Reader's been a dog for a while. Mm-hmm. He's kind of an underrated guy,
yep.
But he is a veteran. He's going to come and bring some solidify the inside of our defensive line. And I do think those two in the inside is going to make it easier for whoever that other guy is, whether it's James Houston, whether it's Davenport, or whoever else is going to have to bring that pressure on the edge. In the middle, we are going to be so solid with the safeties we have, and then Jack Campbell making a progression with Reader and Aleem McNeil. I'm super excited. I think Jack Campbell's more the breakout person than Jameson because you only got so many balls that can go around.
Sure.
You know they're going to run the football. You know LaPorta going to get looks. You know Amara St. Brown's going to get looks. So Jameson Williams is that guy that he hits that big play in the big moment, and I can see a lot of that happening. But on a steady dosage, week to week, I think we're going to see Jack Campbell getting 10 tackles, 11 tackles, making interceptions, making plays. I think he's going to be a top five middle linebacker in the NFL. I really do.
Antoine, I'm with you. I think he is poised to have that breakout season that you're talking about. And for a lot of the same reasons in regards to Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, Aiden Hutchinson,
yeah.
whether it's Davenport, Houston, insert Pascal, I don't care.
Yeah.
I think it's going to open things up for him, but I think there's going to be a lot of different ways that they're going to be able to utilize him because Derek Barnes played better at the end of last year. Alex Anzalone is solid. They can use those guys in traditional linebacker roles, but the athletic ability of Jack Campbell is going to open things up to use him in very creative and dynamic ways.
And to me, I mean, they were already great stopping the run, and Reader will solidify that they remain one of the elite run-stopping teams. What it excites me about is that the quickest path to the quarterback is right up the middle. And if that means Aleem McNeil is a three-tech, he's lining up one-on-one over a guard on critical snaps, that's what all of a sudden, hey, I appreciate the work they've done in the secondary, overhauling that room, and I think those players will get better, especially late in the year. But right out of the gate, if Aleem McNeil's a game wrecker, everybody else is going to benefit because the quickest path is through him.
Well, and what you're trying to do is create as many beneficial matchups as you can. You just mentioned Aleem McNeil one-on-one with a guard. I like that matchup. DJ Reader one-on-one with a center. I like that matchup. Aiden Hutchinson one-on-one with the tackle. If you can find ways to get him singled up because maybe on a certain protection they've got to double Aleem McNeil, and that's where it becomes important to have somebody that can win on the other side in a one-on-one situation. You only got five offensive linemen. If you double up more than one player, now that means a tight end is in protection, a running back is in protection, a wide receiver is in protection. Mm-hmm. You've got to find more ways to get people in the box to help defend and double up players. But if you aren't, then if it's Hutch that gets doubled, Hutch, find a way to beat a double team. That's what good pass rushers do. And then Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, and whoever else is over there, find a way to win your one-on-one matchup.
Let's get to Corin, who sounds a lot like Brad Holmes. Corin, you're on 97.1. That's all I remember. Every time I see your name, I think Brad Holmes is calling in.
Well, listen, I think one of the key storylines that we're missing is Jared Goff going to be able to take that elite step?
You paid him.
That's my point is we paid him, right? So can he throw the – can he get, instead of, 30, 32 touchdowns, can we knock that up to 45, 50 touchdowns? Not 4,400 yards, but 49 to 5,100 yards. Right? Can he take that Drew Brees step? Can he take that Peyton Manning step? That Tom Brady last year first year in Tampa Bay, or the Randy Moss year, right? Because he has every single weapon around him. Our team goes as our offense goes, and that's what Dan Campbell told us last year. It's great that we can. It's good that we can have a good defense and shore it up, but we go as our offense goes, and we're not going to have any more games where Jimmy Garoppolo misses Davante Adams on two wide open touchdowns, or when we're, the San Diego Chargers screw the game up, give us the ball back, and then we go take the win, right? But we were so close to obviously winning and getting, not winning the Super Bowl, but getting to the Super Bowl, but we were also close enough where a couple of those games go another way. And, I mean, we're sitting at a Tampa Bay game where it's, you know, 13-6, and that ball's in the air, and nobody thinks Jameis was going to catch that ball. Now, we're grateful that he caught it, but we didn't think he was going to catch it. Like, we were really close to being another 9-18, just as close as we were to being 12-5. So, if Jared Goff is going to take advantage, I mean, the real question is, can he take advantage of this offense? Can he put Atlanta away immediately? Can he put Tampa Bay away immediately? Can he put these teams away, take control of this offense, take the next step, and get us to where we want to go and look like the best quarterback in this football league?
So it's interesting. We talk about guys that can get that next gear or have an extra gear to get to, and we don't ever really bring up Jared Goff. John, do you think there's another gear for him?
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in regards to, like,
50 touchdowns?
Yeah, 50 touchdowns. That's a bit lofty. It would be great. But it's in being able to spread the ball around more, understanding that, yeah, J-Mo is a weapon that he can utilize, one that he can count on, trust, and rely upon. Now, all of a sudden, instead of, hey, always going to Amon-Ra St. Brown or Laporta or Gibbs out of the backfield, you add that extra weapon. Now, in some of those big plays, maybe that's how he gets some extra time. It's not Jared Goff, it's being able to utilize the more tools around him to be able to up his numbers. It's the yards after catch for Jameson Williams. It's the yards after catch for Amon-Ra St. Brown. All of those things will add up to more yards for Jared Goff. He didn't do anything different. It's being able to have the threat of spreading the ball around to more weapons that will open up his most trusted.
Am I allowed to answer the question? Because I think I'm going to get judged. I don't think he has another gear, but I think he's good enough. Does that make sense? Like, I don't, he's not going to physically get like more dynamic in the run game. I don't think his arm is going to get any stronger. I think he has a wealth of knowledge in this system. He is in complete control as kind of the command center of this offense. And I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl with. I think he proved that last year in those playoff games. It wasn't his fault they lost the NFC title game. I just don't see him as a guy who at this point in his career is going
to
hit.
Add elements to his game.
Yeah, and I think he's steady. Yeah. He's very steady for a team that needs that position to be steady, right? Getting the right looks, stay ahead of the sticks, convert the third downs, finish in the red zone.
Basically the same thing I said, just in a different way.
But I was meaner. I said he doesn't have an extra gear, and it's going to get taken the wrong way, John.
No, I don't know that that'll be taken the wrong way. And I hope it's not, because it is simply, when I talk about if he's going to have increased numbers, it's because J-Mo is better, and better than Josh Reynolds was. It's because Laporta and Gibbs take another step forward in year two. It's an offensive line that performs better than it did last year. Jared Goff is not going to add a whole lot to his game at this point in his career. He is who he is. It's being able to better utilize the talents around him and having those players just step up. Because if you do have a wide receiver one in Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo becomes number two, and let's just keep Laporta and Gibbs out of this equation, but then you have a reliable big target in third and medium situations in Donovan Peoples-Jones. That could be an added. That's what Josh Reynolds was last year. Now you got a bigger target that you might be able to utilize. And if you can utilize more weapons, his numbers will go up, but he's not adding any tools to the tool chest.
We'll get Heather's news coming up next. We also want to get into Tarek Skubal. There's always more with Tarek Skubal. We're less than a week away from the trade deadline. There are odds. There are sentiments from executives around baseball as to how this is going to go, and they are all on the same page. And there's a trade proposal. We want to know your response to that. It's 97.1. Six days away from the deadline, the latest trade proposal. We're getting some specifics. This is from MLB Network, Joel Sherman, who does some stuff with New York Post too. He has a hypothetical trade. I want to know your reaction, yes or no. You can bet on this stuff, apparently. Bookies.com has odds on where Tarek Skubal will finish the season. The favorite is the Baltimore Orioles, not the Detroit Tigers. But that's in contrast to what rival executives think. ESPN says all of them are on the same page. Not a single MLB executive recently surveyed believes the Tigers will actually trade Tarek Skubal. Is that the camp you're in?
Yeah, I don't think it actually gets done. I don't think Baltimore wants to give up what it would actually take to pry Tarik Skubal away from the Tigers. I just don't think they're willing to do that. And it doesn't mean that it's not bad. It's not that they should. It's that right now Scott Harris has the biggest bargaining chip in all of Major League Baseball. And it should be a one-sided deal. We win this deal on paper right now. And it depends on how Jackson Holliday, how any of these other players develop as to whether ultimately you win the deal or not. But as we sit today, it is clear and everybody agrees that this was, if it was done in the offseason, if it was done at league meeting, then it would be a bad deal for Baltimore. But it's done right now with the idea that Baltimore wants to win a World Series this year. They need Tarik Skubal to do that. The Detroit Tigers have that chip, and they hold on to it and make it a one-sided deal that everybody agrees. As of now, the Tigers win this deal.
Yeah, I'd make it hurt for them. Make it painful. Corbin Burns is on the last year of his deal. If he's not re-signing, their best chance to win a World Series is to team Skubal up with them with all those bats and go get it done. If I was in Baltimore, I'd be screaming to give up these prospects to go win a World Series. Here in Detroit, it's very different. Tarik Skubal's a building block. I know people say, well, what if you're not going to extend him? If you're not going to pay Tarik Skubal, if you're not going to pay bats this offseason, let's just shut down the entire team and be done with it. I mean, I'm serious. If you're not willing to try to get better in 25, spend a little on the bats, spend on Tarik Skubal, and field a competitive team in 25, then what's the point? I am only going to operate of the belief that I want to win next season. And Tarik Skubal helps them win next season. He helps them win the next couple seasons. And then, yes, you make sure to get a deal done and keep homegrown, all-star caliber Cy Young winners on your team. I mean, the alternative is the Chris Sale deal, which I always cite because it was multiple years of control, lefty, Cy Young caliber. The White Sox traded away Chris Sale. They got the number one prospect in baseball. They got another top 100 prospect, and it didn't work out. And the Red Sox, who got Chris Sale, won the World Series.
Or it's the Juan Soto deal, and the Washington Nationals go from, hey, winning a World Series to doormat to right back to contending, or at least being in the conversation in a matter of just a couple of years.
Here's the trade proposal for you to consider. Tarik Skubal and Jason Foley for Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad. We haven't talked a lot about Kjerstad. Just a quick little deal on him. He's 25 years old, lefty bat. He's in the majors right now. He's hitting about 300 with a 900 OPS. It's in a small sample, but major league ready bat plus Jackson Holliday, who would be your starting shortstop, lefty bat, bloodlines. His dad was Matt Holliday. John, do you do that deal? Yes or no?
Not with Foley. I'm not giving up two arms for two projects and prospects. Let's just say prospects instead of projects, even though that's what they are.
So if he kept Foley, you do the deal?
I would be more apt to do it because you do have a guy that has produced at the major league level, even though it's a very small sample size in Kjerstad, because it's, 54 at-bats? Right now he's batting just under 300. All the stats that you just mentioned, but it's 54 at-bats. He hasn't even reached that 100-bat mark.
Right.
And in terms of Jackson Holliday, he was up. It didn't look good, but people still have him as the number one overall prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah, I'd say throw in Mayo, and we'll get it done. And they would go, that's a good overpay. We wouldn't. And I go, okay, great.
That's my point.
And I'd hang up the phone, and we'd move on.
That's my point. You have
I go hang out at the world headquarters and go from there.
Yeah, and hey, go ahead. Lose in the American League Championship Series. You know, you might be good enough to get there, Baltimore, but if you want that World Series, we've got what you need.
And I'm willing to keep Foley in the deal. I mean, relievers are volatile. If I can get three-plus young bats, now you're starting to make it make sense for me. Otherwise, I'm keeping the best player in the deal. I'm putting the best product out in 25. I'm not doing this forever rebuild thing. And you can develop young players while you win at the same time. That is the focal point if I was running this team.
Here's the other thing about Kjerstad. I know we're going to get to Heather's news in just a moment, but he was the number two overall pick, right?
Yes.
We had, at one point, a number one overall pick. Where is he at right now?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's Spencer Torkelson. He's back down in AAA and doesn't look like it's getting any better down there.
It's a great point. Kjerstad is not certain, even though he's debuted in the majors.
Holiday's not certain.
And he's certainly not certain. Someone compares Kjærstad to Kerry Carpenter. They're the exact same player. There's some redundancy there. Listen, you can't have enough good bats. I wouldn't say no to getting him in a deal, but he can't be like, you know, the swing piece of the deal. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
Let's talk about these sweet and necessary upgrades that are coming to training camp. Pretty cool. Have you seen the photos of what?
Yes.
Okay, so if you go out to training camp, if you've been there, you know, like, there's not a lot of relief from the sun, right? It can get very, very hot. Well, on Tuesday, they unveiled these cool new, like, awnings that are going to protect fans from the sun out on the bleachers. Pretty cool. And then the VIP tent. It's not just a tent. It is now a double-decker tent, if you want to call it that. It's pretty, I mean, it's...
I've seen the photos.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll see it next week, but... Pretty cool.
Hey, listen, they know there's a demand. They want to upgrade the experience. It's good on them.
I think it's great because there really isn't anywhere unless you're in that VIP tent to go to escape the sun, right? Like there's no like, yeah, I guess you could try to find a shaded spot, but then you're not seeing the action. So it's kind of defeats the purpose. So this is great. Very cool. All right. So I got a bunch of Olympic news. So the Canadian Olympic Committee is apologizing after a staff member of the women's soccer team used a drone to go spy on New Zealand during a training session.
Oh, come on.
Ruh-roh. Yeah, so in a statement, the committee said that they were aware of a non-accredited member of the Canada soccer support team. That member was detained by French authorities on July 22nd. They say that they are very disappointed. And they say, you know what, the actions don't, you know, meet our standards. So... I don't know what's going to happen with this person or what the penalty will be besides being detained by French authorities.
Greg, you want to beat me to the punchline?
I don't know. We might not have the same punchline. We might not.
Stallions keep him busy?
I'll go. My punchline was that the statement read, sorry.
Sorry, we didn't mean to.
Yep. Also, more Olympic news. At the Paris Olympics, surfers may actually have it better than any other group of athletes.
Oh, the
accommodations. Their accommodations. Yeah. So they're not in the standard, you know, Olympic village where all the other athletes are going to be.
Cardboard beds, yeah, no AC. The U.S. will have them, but...
No, none of that. They're staying on a luxury cruise ship in Tahiti.
Oh.
And it's pretty cool because it's not like a massive cruise ship, like a huge Carnival cruise ship, but it's... pretty darn big. It holds 230 passengers and it's got everything a cruise ship would have, right? The pool, the gym, the spa, the bars, the probably a library, you name it. It's all there. Yes. Pretty darn cool. Yeah.
So I don't see the surfers utilizing the library very much other than...
What are you saying about
surfers?
I don't think during the Olympics you're going to sit there
maybe they get disqualified or like they're out of medal contention. At least you're kind of on like a cool vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Surfers are dumb and can't read. That's what I learned today.
That's what I took out of it as well. Yeah. Did you hear about this British equestrian?
No.
Oh, she's a three-time Olympic champion. She's been banned from the Paris Olympics.
Why? I saw the headline. What happened?
There's a video that just surfaced online that allegedly shows her basically beating or whipping a horse more than you would do in a training session pretty viciously. It surfaced online and she is... taking herself out, but she's also been banned for 6 months competing. Yeah, she is now apologizing. She says she's deeply ashamed and made an error in judgment. So not a good look at all.
No.
I don't want to see the video, but it does exist.
It's Heather with the news. One last note. Today is Detroit's birthday.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
313 turns 323, 323 years of Detroit. So happy birthday,
nice.
Detroit. Coming up next, some of your responses to that proposed trade for Tarek Skubal. We'll read them next. And I would like to introduce a vocabulary word to describe what I watched last night with the Tigers. 97.1. Oh, tell you to take a dive into the best pool in history, Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. And we're going to be heading out there in August. So we gear up for the football season. Start making your plans. Chill in one of the six pools, three different levels, always a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football. Yes, absolutely. With the swim up. 6 days away from the deadline, the latest trade proposal. We're getting some specifics. This is from MLB Network, Joel Sherman, who does some stuff with New York Post, too. He has a hypothetical trade. I want to know your reaction, yes or no. You can bet on this stuff, apparently. Bookies.com has odds on where Tarek Skubal will finish the season. The favorite is the Baltimore Orioles, not the Detroit Tigers. But that's in contrast to what rival executives think. ESPN says all of them are on the same page. Not a single MLB executive recently surveyed believes the Tigers will actually trade Tarek Skubal. Is that the camp you're in?
Yeah, I don't think it actually gets done. I don't think Baltimore wants to give up what it would actually take to pry Tarek Skubal away from the Tigers. I just don't think they're willing to do that. And it doesn't mean that it's not bad. It's not that they should. It's that right now Scott Harris has the biggest bargaining chip in all of Major League Baseball. And it should be a one-sided deal. We win this deal on paper right now. And it depends on how Jackson Holliday, how any of these other players develop as to whether ultimately you win the deal or not. But as we sit today, it is clear and everybody agrees that this was, if it was done in the offseason, if it was done at league meeting, then it would be a bad deal for Baltimore. But it's done right now with the idea that Baltimore wants to win a World Series this year. They need Tarek Skubal to do that. The Detroit Tigers have that chip, and they hold on to it and make it a one-sided deal that everybody agrees. As of now, the Tigers win this deal.
Yeah, I'd make it hurt for them. Make it painful. Corbin Burns is on the last year of his deal. If he's not re-signing, their best chance to win a World Series is to team Skubal up with him with all those bats and go get it done. If I was in Baltimore, I'd be screaming to give up these prospects to go win a World Series. Here in Detroit, it's very different. Tarek Skubal's a building block. I know people say, well, what if you're not going to extend him? If you're not going to pay Tarek Skubal, if you're not going to pay bats this offseason, let's just shut down the entire team and be done with it. I mean, I'm serious. If you're not willing to try to get better in 25, spend a little on the bats, spend on Tarek Skubal, and field a competitive team in 25, then what's the point? I am only going to operate of the belief that I want to win next season. And Tarek Skubal helps them win next season. He helps them win the next couple seasons. And then, yes, you make sure to get a deal done and keep homegrown all-star caliber Cy Young winners on your team. I mean, the alternative is the Chris Sale deal, which I always cite because it was multiple years of control, lefty, Cy Young caliber. The White Sox traded away Chris Sale. They got the number one prospect in baseball. They got another top 100 prospect, and it didn't work out. And the Red Sox, who got Chris Sale, won the World Series.
Or it's the Juan Soto deal, and the Washington Nationals go from, hey, winning a World Series to doormat to right back to contending, or at least being in the conversation in a matter of just a couple years.
Here's the trade proposal for you to consider. Tarek Skubal and Jason Foley for Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad. We haven't talked a lot about Kjerstad, just a quick little deal on him. He's 25 years old, lefty bat. He's in the majors right now. He's hitting about 300 with a 900 OPS. It's in a small sample. But major league ready bat, plus Jackson Holliday, who would be your starting shortstop, lefty bat, bloodlines. His dad was Matt Holliday. John, do you do that deal, yes or no?
Not with Foley. I'm not giving up two arms for two projects. Prospects instead of projects, even though that's what they are.
So if he kept Foley, you do the deal?
I would be more apt to do it because you do have a guy that has produced at the major league level, even though it's a very small sample size in Kjerstad, because it's, what, 54 at-bats? Right now he's batting just under 300. All the stats that you just mentioned, but it's 54 at-bats. He hasn't even reached that 100-bat mark.
Right.
And in terms of Jackson Holliday, like, he was up. It didn't look good, but people still have him as the number one overall prospect in all of baseball.
Yeah, I'd say throw in Mayo, and we'll get it done. And they would go, that's a good overpay. We wouldn't. And I go, okay, great.
That's my point.
And I'd hang up the phone, and we'd move on.
That's my point. You have
I go hang out at the world headquarters and go from there.
Yeah, and hey, go ahead. Lose in the American League Championship Series. You know, you might be good enough to get there, Baltimore, but if you want that World Series, we've got what you need.
And I'm willing to keep Foley in the deal. I mean, relievers are volatile. If I can get three-plus young bats, now you're starting to make it makes sense for me. Otherwise, I'm keeping the best player in the deal. I'm putting the best product out in 25. I'm not doing this forever rebuild thing. And you can develop young players while you win at the same time. That is the focal point if I was running this team.
Here's the other thing about Kjærstad. I know we're going to get to Heather's news in just a moment, but he was the number two overall pick, right?
Yes.
We had, at one point, a number one overall pick. Where is he at right now?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's Spencer Torkelson. He's back down in AAA and doesn't look like it's getting any better down there.
It's a great point. Kjærstad is not certain, even though he's debuted in the majors.
Holiday's not certain.
And he's certainly not certain. Someone compares Kjærstad to Carey Carpenter. They're the exact same player. There's some redundancy there. Listen, you can't have enough good bats. I wouldn't say no to getting him in a deal, but he can't be like... Yeah. You know, the swing piece of the deal. All right, let's get to Heather's news.
Let's talk about these sweet and necessary upgrades that are coming to training camp. Pretty cool. Have you seen the photos of what?
Yes.
Okay, so if you go out to training camp, if you've been there, you know, like, there's not a lot of relief from the sun, mm-hmm. right? It can get very, very hot. Well, on Tuesday, they unveiled these cool new, like, awnings that are going to protect fans from the sun out on the bleachers. Pretty cool. And then the VIP tent. It's not just a tent. It is now a double-decker tent, if you want to call it that. It's pretty. I mean, it's...
I've seen the photos.
Yeah. Obviously, we'll see it next week, but pretty cool.
Hey, listen, they know there's a demand. They want to upgrade the experience. It's good on them.
I think it's great because there really isn't anywhere, unless you're in that VIP tent, to go to escape the sun. Right? Like, there's no, like, yeah, I guess you could try to find a shaded spot, but then you're not seeing the action. So it's kind of defeats the purpose. So this is great. Very cool. All right. So I got a bunch of Olympic news. So the Canadian Olympic Committee is apologizing after a staff member of the women's soccer team used a drone to go spy on New Zealand during a training session.
Oh, come on.
Ruh-roh. Yeah, so in a statement, the committee said that they were aware of a non-accredited member of the Canada soccer support team. That member was detained by French authorities on July 22nd. They say that they are very disappointed. And they say, you know what, the actions don't, you know, meet our standards. So I don't know what's going to happen with this person or what the penalty will be besides being detained by French authorities.
Greg, you want to beat me to the punchline?
I don't know. We might not have the same punchline. We might not.
Stallions keeping busy?
I'll go. My punchline was that the statement read, sorry.
Sorry. We didn't mean to.
Yep. Also, more Olympic news. At the Paris Olympics, surfers may actually have it better than any other group of athletes.
Oh, the combinations.
Their accommodations.
Yeah.
So they're not in the standard, you know, Olympic village where all the other athletes are going to be.
Cardboard beds, yeah, AC. The U.S. will have them, but.
No, none of that. They're staying on a luxury cruise ship in Tahiti.
Oh.
And it's pretty cool because it's not like a massive cruise ship, like a huge Carnival cruise ship, but it's pretty darn big. It holds 230 passengers, and it's got everything a cruise ship would have, right? The pool, the gym, the spa, the bars, the probably a library, you name it. It's all there. Yes. Pretty darn cool.
Yeah. So I don't see the surfers utilizing the library very much other than...
What
nice,
are you
nice
saying
quiet.
About surfers?
Surfers are like...
I don't think during the Olympics you're going to sit there and
well, maybe
utilize
they get disqualified, not disqualified, or like they're out of medal contention. At least you're kind of on like a cool vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Surfers are dumb and can't read. That's what I learned today.
That's what I took out of it as well, yeah. Did you hear about this British equestrian?
No.
Oh, she's a three-time Olympic champion. She's been banned from the Paris Olympics.
Why?
Because
I saw the
video,
headline. What happened?
There's a video that just surfaced online that allegedly shows her basically beating or whipping a horse more than you would do in a training session pretty viciously. It surfaced online, and she is... taken herself out, but she's also been banned for 6 months competing. Yeah, she is now apologizing. She says she's deeply ashamed and made an error in judgment. So not a good look at all.
No.
I don't want to see the video, but it does exist.
It's Heather with the news. One last note. Today is Detroit's birthday.
Oh, hey, happy birthday.
313 turns 323. 323 years of Detroit. So happy birthday,
nice.
Detroit. Coming up next, some of your responses to that proposed trade for Tarek Skubal. We'll read them next. And I would like to introduce a vocabulary word to describe what I watched last night with the Tigers. 97.1. Oh, tell you to take a dive into the best pool in history, Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch the biggest games and a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. And we're going to be heading out there in August as we gear up for the football season. Start making your plans. Chill in one of the six pools, three different levels, always a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football. Yes, absolutely. With the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got the cozy day beds, private cabanas. You can lounge at the center of the action. It's all right there for you. Reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today. CircaLasVegas.com. The trade proposal from MLB Network sends Tarek Skubal to the Orioles along with Foley for Jackson Holliday and Heston Kjerstad. Reactions. No deal. We have to clearly win the trade. That's 50-50 and our two best pitchers. No deal. Terrible deal. Two for two. We're getting fleeced. Sounds like Alavila put that one together. Another no deal. Texter points out the Nationals are set up well for the future because of the Soto deal. I would add that deal is not a Soto deal. So you're not doing it.
No, well, I agree. It's not a Soto deal. And it is, it's kind of a two for two, one for one type of thing. And you don't come away with it feeling like we won that deal. You come away with it feeling like Baltimore won the deal and they're going to go on and win a World Series.
They are the more desperate party. The only way the Tigers would be desperate is if they know they have no intention of keeping Tarek Skubal long term. And then it's, will Jackson Holliday ever be on the table again? And then you're forced to be in a bad position where you're giving Tarek Skubal away. You don't want to do that.
No.
Texter points out that, and I hate when we do this, Texter points out Michael Fulmer says you should have dealt him for Alex Bregman. Not moving Skubal would be another misstep like Fulmer. I see a lot of people making the Fulmer comparison. They're both pitchers. Pitchers could get hurt, and that's where the comparisons end. Skubal's a Cy Young Award caliber pitcher. Fulmer never was.
You always want to be ahead of that. You can't predict an injury, although we know that Tarek Skubal has had arm issues in the past. He's had his arm event. Does it mean he's going to have it again? No. Does it mean he's not? No. We don't know. We don't know that. Here's why you want to get position players. And you want to get as many as possible to win the trade is if you get Holliday, you get Mayo, you get, you know, Kjerstad, you're getting somebody that should produce or could produce day in, day out.
And you got
instead of once every five.
But you got to give me like three or four of these. I mean, Soto deal was like a six player thing. If you give me three or four of these guys with two or three of them being high level guys, I'm feeling like I'm going to get at least one or two that pan out, that become everyday guys. But I can't do a two for two. That's a no deal. John, the Tigers lost yesterday. And my vocabulary word is languish.
Ooh.
Languish. To waste away or to suffer neglect. How long are they going to do this 10-man rotation or 10-man bullpen thing?
Well, if they trade Flaherty, let's just leave Skubal out, but they trade Flaherty, you better get used to it because it's going to happen more often.
And beyond that, who is Bly? What's his face?
What's his face?
Madras? Who is this guy and why is he batting in the eighth inning with the tying run on second base?
Oh, that's the guy that they swapped for Valaid.
I know. Bly Madras is his name.
Who's Valaid? Who's this? Who was the cat at the beginning of the year?
Buddy Kennedy.
Like it you're going to have a lot of guys that on the back of their baseball card say that I made the big leagues in 2024 with the Detroit Tigers.
Now, some of this is, you know, AJ pinch hit in Franny Ibanez to get lefty-righty, you know, different matchup. His bench at that point was Riley Green, who he apparently wasn't going to play under any circumstances, is expected to DH today. Your backup catcher and Javi Baez. It's not like there were great options. Now, I think if Riley Green can DH today, he could have at least swung the stick yesterday. You don't have to ask him to play the field. You could always bring Baez in and rearrange everybody, move Gio over to first, move Vierling to third. You could get creative.
Yeah, but that to me was a hard and fast rule. Hey, today, no, Riley Greene is not going to see the field. He's not going to go in to bat as a pinch hitter. He's not going to go in as a pinch runner. He's not going to go in the field. It is a 100% day off to make sure that whatever he has that is sore gets enough rest to heal up so that you don't miss 10 days. You don't miss 30 days.
Well, and he has been remarkably durable this year, and the knock on him was he needed to stay healthy.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to getting a guy a breather, especially a guy who played in the All-Star game, didn't get the same off time as everybody else. It's just frustrating when it's Bly Madris, 0-for-2, two strikeouts, all pivotal 7th and 8th inning at-bats in what was a one-run game going, yeah, this roster was neglected. There's not a better bat. And this rotation, they got to make a move at some point. I mean, they're going to go all bullpen again on Thursday. And John, Flaherty's got to go 6. If Jack Flaherty has a hiccup today, they're screwed. They're screwed. What are they going to do on Thursday? I mean, they're going to have to call somebody up sooner rather than later. They can't neglect this. Well, I guess they can if they're really not in it. But
well, I mean, this could go from, hey, they're one game back of 500 when they were 50-51. Now they're two back because of the loss yesterday. They get to the trade deadline, and if Flaherty is moved, let's just, it's all in. Skubal is moved. Who are you going to put on the mound? Mize isn't back. Manning's not back.
Open tryouts.
It could get really, really ugly. And right now, we knew at the beginning of the year, the pitching staff had been healthy in large part for most of the first half of the season. What happens if they start to have pitchers that miss their starts? That's what we're seeing now.
Right.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.